Bookstore Explorer is brought to you in part by the Bookshop Bungalow at Plot Twist Books. Have you ever wanted to spend the night in a bookstore? With the Bookshop Bungalow, now you can. Located just minutes from Charleston, West Virginia, the Bookshop Bungalow is a book lover's retreat, a private room inside an actual working bookshop. Each stay comes with a used book credit, employee pricing on new books and gifts, and an honorary staff pick of your choice added to our inventory. Learn more and book your stay now at plottwistbooks.com. Welcome to Bookstore Explorer, the show where we go behind the shelves with booksellers to celebrate the magic of independent bookstores. I'm author and bookseller Matt Browning, and today we are in my home state of West Virginia, visiting one of my favorite spots, Cicada Books and Coffee in Huntington, West Virginia. This family-owned spot was opened in 2018 by mother-daughter duo Don Hilbert and Katie Norman, and they joined me to discuss the store's history, its place in the community, and its unique blend of books, coffee, and art. So come along as we go bookstore exploring. Don and Katie, hello. Welcome to Bookstore Explorer. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you too.
Now, to set the scene for our listeners, a few years ago, some friends and I did sort of a video version of Bookstore Explorer, kind of as a trial run to see how we enjoyed that that medium. And you guys were one of our people we interviewed because you're located, I don't know, less than an hour from where I live. So I'm very familiar with your store. But anyway, it's good to see you now in podcast format.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we always do with the show is that we start each episode by having the guests sort of describe the store for our listeners so that they can visualize what we're talking about. So let's pretend we just walked into Cicada Books and kind of walk us around the space.
All right. So the front of our building is bright blue. So that's the first thing you see coming in. In the front room, we've got a bunch of tables and chairs. We've got a bar, a cafe bar with an espresso machine. We've got plants in the windows. Our floor is like purple, like kind of a swirly bowling ball, like purple and black in the front room. We've got stuff all over the walls. We've got, might have a toaster going, cooking bagels. We sell bagels. And we've got some shelves in the front room, but mostly that's sort of the cafe area. And then as you go into the back, we have got some seating areas. We've got a little nook with like fairy lights and a sofa and some armchairs. We've got a kids area. We have got a big fiction section, a big nonfiction section that's sort of sorted by category. And some more seating through the back. We've got a big table and another little spot. So we've got lots of study spots throughout the store.
I want to go back to something you said, and it's the bright blue exterior of the space.
Yes.
Because you stand out in the neighborhood that you're in. So tell me, how did you arrive at that color choice? Because it was not original to the building when you took it over, right?
No, when we bought the building, it was yellow brick. And I don't remember how we settled on that blue.
I do.
Okay.
I do. In 2015, before we bought the building and decided to open the store, I had been to Paris. And there's a lot of painted buildings. And I love painted brick. And I came back and said, I'm going to paint this building blue. And I have to say that the neighbors were not convinced for a while. But it all worked out.
How long did it take them to come around? Because it's really beautiful.
I don't know. I think after the first year or so of being in business, they could see that we were bringing a lot of new people to the street. And that changed most of their opinions.
When we moved into the area, it was a little bit more oriented towards sort of like antique shops. And it was a little bit more maybe low key. And I feel like since then, there's a lot more sort of arts going on down there. There's a big mural that sort of matches our blue that's across the street now that didn't used to be there. So I think the sort of character of the neighborhood has changed a little bit since we moved in.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. When did you move in and what inspired you to open a bookshop?
So we got the building, I think I said 2016. We did not open the store till 2018. But as a family project, we had thought about opening a bookstore in the past, like a long time ago. And we were all readers and so on. And I just kept, I lived in the neighborhood and I just kept walking by that building for sale and walking by it. And finally, one day I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to open a bookstore here. And so, you know, it was an old idea that it just seemed like the time was right and the place was right. So.
Did you have, you know, past experience being a bookseller or working in the book business at all?
No, none at all.
No. Dawn has run a business for my whole childhood. You guys started in what, 1996?
Yep. I ran a different business for about 25 years.
Okay.
We're a family of book lovers. My dad writes, she writes, I write. And so it was something that part just seemed like the fun part. It was more like, hey, I bet we could do this as a business than, you know.
As it turns out, running a bookstore is not the same as just loving books and loving to read. As you know, it's not the same at all. But there's still some satisfactions there.
You have a lot less time to read than people seem to think that you
Absolutely.
Do, has been my experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love the name of your store. Tell me what inspired the name Cicada.
Ooh, I'm going to let Katie handle this one.
We spent a long time pitching different name ideas, arguing over them, pulling everybody that we knew over and over again until I got sick of it. I think our final four was like Sunflower Books, Sleepy Owl Books, Orange Books, and Cicada Books. And those are sort of our options. And I feel like we were just trying to pick things that we thought sounded cool or that we had sort of a connection to. Cicada specifically was like sort of like a family story there. The last big cicada year in Huntington, I was 11. And Dawn, like we collected them and cooked some of them. And that was this funny thing that, you know, that was a memorable thing from my childhood. And so that was part of it. I was reading a lot of poetry then. I was in college and we were like looking at different, there's a really beautiful poem by John Blair called Cicada that I love. But that was also where Orange Books came from. There's a bunch of The Orange by Wendy Cope. So we had a bunch of sort of like potential options. And I think we settled on Cicada partly because we wanted to have like specimens in there. We sell skulls. We've got, sort of a nature theme going on. And that seemed like it was suitable, for that. But also I think because we thought it would be memorable, it would stick in people's heads. And I think on that front, it's been successful. We just kind of thought it would be easy to, of those sort of final four options, we thought that would be the easiest to maybe brand with. And I think that's true.
And we like oddities and specimens. So
yeah,
we have a lot of them in the store. So it fits our, suits our name.
Let's get into a little bit more about what's in the store. You're mostly a used bookstore. Is that appropriate to say?
Yes, but I would say that the proportion of new to used, the proportions are growing with the new books. We did not start that way. We started with all used books and consigned items. But we have been buying new books for quite a while now, several years, and are slowly increasing our stock. But we did stick to some specific categories. We carry Appalachian, new Appalachian, and classic books, fiction and nonfiction. We carry a lot of LGBT fiction, and then we will specialize in different categories. We carry Black authors and highlight them during Black History Month and so on. And we carry quite a few new books by local authors. So.
What are some of the genres, you know, new or used, new and used, that tend to sell well for you?
So, well, go ahead.
We sell a lot of like sci-fi and fantasy, to the point that can be hard with a used bookstore because people will come in looking for certain classic things. And if we're selling them used, it can be hard to, you know, just somebody's like, do you have any Neil Gaiman? And it's like, well, we did, but somebody came in for it last week.
You know, we could sell a copy or two every week, but we don't get those in use that often at that rate. So sometimes we buy classic books, new copies of them, reprints and things like that.
I would say our Appalachian Lit is consistently popular in terms of, especially the new stuff that we sell. We sell a lot of things like Beth Macy's books, things like we've got a book called Another Appalachia. I would have to check the author's name on that, but memoirs and local things, sometimes things from local presses. We sell some things from WVU Press. We sell a lot of Erie Appalachia, which is about cryptids in the area. So I'd say that category is pretty popular as well.
I know I have a lot of listeners who aspire to open their own bookstores. So when it comes to your used inventory, how do you manage that? How do you source your books? You know, do you do a credit system or how do you handle that stuff?
That's kind of a mix of things. We started out with, we actually bought a lot of used books in bulk when we first, like before we opened. And just to sort of build up our initial stock. But since then, yeah, we do have a store credit system, and we get a lot of them that way. People bring in things for credit.
We do that. We take books in a buyback program every month. We take them in one week a month. And so we get several hundred a month usually that way. And then we buy from estate sales.
Yeah, that's the other big thing is that we kind of keep our eyes out for larger collections that people are looking to sell. And that is sometimes sort of the best way to get unusual things, because I think with the buyback program, sometimes people are giving you the stuff that they don't want. And sometimes that's also the stuff that we don't want.
Yeah, you have to probably put stipulations. We don't want this. We don't want that.
Yes. We do a lot. One of the things that we do sometimes now is if we get like paperback, like mystery and thrillers, we have a hard time selling those. We will donate them to the Appalachian Prison Book Project. So that's one thing. Like, we sometimes there's an amount of just like moving things through our store to a new home that is not with us.
or to the free book cart that sits out front when we're open.
So you only do, so if I came in on a random Tuesday and if it wasn't during your buyback period, you only take them during that, you know, week or whatever.
That's right.
It is.
Yeah.
We'll make it's probably much more manageable for you.
It was mostly the clutter problem. We just, for every person that brings in a grocery bag with four books in it, there's someone else who has seven boxes that have been in their garage. And it was unpredictable in the front. You know, 25% of the store was always filled with huge piles of books we hadn't gone through yet. So it is much more manageable this way.
We do make exceptions occasionally for regulars, people that ask us, but most of the time it's just that 1 week a month, which definitely is more convenient.
Let's talk about the cafe portion. So talk a little bit about, you know, your menu of items that you have.
So we do I would say a coffee menu that is maybe similar to Starbucks. We were a little bit Starbucks inspired. We didn't sort of want to go. We're not trying to sort of be like the most gourmet coffee spot in town, but we try to, you know, make sure that the stuff that we do make, we make well. We've got lattes, cappuccinos, Americanos, basically anything you can make with an espresso machine. We do frappes. We sell a lot of tea, actually, and tea lattes. And then a couple of years ago, we started selling bagels as well. So we do bagel sandwiches now on these nice big bagels from New Yorker Bagel that are we get overnighted to us. And that has been pretty successful. We wanted to be a lunch spot in the neighborhood because we've had some come and go, and we thought there was sort of room for that in the area. So we wanted to have like an affordable lunch option and an under $10 lunch option in the neighborhood. And so I would say that's the other big thing we do.
Where I live in Charleston, there used to be a bagel shop that closed down years ago, and people still miss that place and just want those bagels.
It's funny to hear from customers who are from New York or who have lived in New York, because they're always like, oh my gosh, you can't get bagels anywhere. You can't get good bagels anywhere. So they're always very pleased to find them.
Now, one of my favorite things about your shop is that you have a very robust events calendar. You're always got stuff going on. So tell us a little bit about some of the events that you do.
I would say that the most regular one, the thing that we're doing every single month, is that we've got, I think, now 4 book clubs. We have a book club called Tasty Read that does food books, memoirs by chefs or cookbooks or fiction with recipes, different kinds of things. We've got Based on a Book Club, which is books that have movie or TV adaptations. And people will sometimes just watch the show or just read the book and come to the meeting. We've got Shelf Improvement, which is like a self-help book club. And we just started one called Band Together that is banned books. So that's like sort of our main monthly, events. And those are pretty popular, and it's a lot of fun to sort of be able to host something like that, that you get a regular group, but it's also flexible. Anybody that doesn't want to come one month, it's not a big deal. You know,
one of the things we also did was, decided that pretty much most, if not all, of our events would be free and community oriented. So, for example, we have a game night that's every week that's just open to the public. And usually it's adults, but occasionally somebody will bring in their whole family and they bring their own games, and they all sit in the store and play board games for a couple hours. We do open mics. We do a variety of things. We also do author signings and author readings. As you know, every bookstore is going to do some of that because if you've got readers, that's a good place for an author to go. So
we also do, this is going to be our third year. We've been doing a pride event on West 14th Street for the last couple of years. And this is going to be our third year doing it. And that has been sort of our biggest event and a crash course in real event planning and in festival planning for us, as opposed to sort of just participating in some of the things that are already happening in the neighborhood. They tend to do, the community association will do sort of like street festivals and things like that a couple of times a year in our neighborhood. But that's been ours that we really have spearheaded. And that has been so much fun. That just kind of came about organically from staff and friends at the store saying it would be so fun to do something like that down here. And we were like, yeah, okay, let's try it. And that's been really rewarding.
Will that be in June?
Yes. Yep. This year, I believe we're going to have a daytime event on West 14th on June 29th. And then we're also doing a nighttime event, a nightlife event at one of the like venues in town called The Loud on the 22nd. So we're going to have two separate events this year.
Now, do you have people that kind of come to all of your book clubs? Or multiple of your book clubs?
Yes. Yeah, we've got a couple of regulars that
we do have people who attend multiple ones. And we've been thinking for a little while about, you know, a VIP kind of program, because we have some very loyal customers.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a shop on, I think it was a shop in Florida, who does a food related book club, and they have the participants make a dish from whatever the cookbook is and bring it to sort of a potluck meal. Do you do anything like that with the food related one? Or
we used to do that. I mean, it's open to that, but fewer people are doing it since the pandemic. Pre-pandemic, it was a potluck. Yep. Now sometimes the Wild Ramp, the local foods grocery, sometimes the chef over there will make something inspired by or themed to the book.
You mentioned the pandemic, and especially in the earlier episodes of this show, it came up pretty frequently. But as a shop, you know, that opened before and survived through it, how was that for you all?
Not good. Not very good. You know, we couldn't foresee how long it would last. And so, you know, as I've said many times, we were the definition of a non-essential business. Not that people didn't want to read during the pandemic, but as a place to go, that was not the kind of place you needed to be.
In some ways, it was a pretty organic decision to close down, because that sort of first week of or second week of March in 2020, we had an event and nobody came. And it was like, oh, yeah, nobody wants to be out right now. Like, nobody wants to come to a cafe at this point in time. And so it was just like, OK, that's a no brainer. We need to be closed. And I'm grateful that we were able to, like, I don't know, we definitely benefited from some of the government programs. Were able to sort of give not have to worry about our staff because there was that expanded unemployment. So we, didn't need to try to stay open or to figure out how to pay people. We were able to just be like, all right, we're going to be closed until it's viable for us to be open again. And owning the business or owning the building was lucky in that regard because we didn't have to worry about rent. You know what I mean? Our overhead dropped a lot.
Yeah. I want to ask my favorite question that I always ask. And it's what are your favorite books to hand sell to customers or just generally, what are some of your favorite reads? Either way you want to approach that. As a mostly used bookshop, it's hard to say favorite to hand sell, but favorite reads.
I'll say it is satisfying to hand sell things that sort of unexpected requests. Like that is one of my favorite things about is being in there and somebody will say, do you have Of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham? And I'm like, hang on, I think we do. And then yes, we've got a paperback copy of it, things like that, being able to find sort of things that are maybe a little off the beaten path or once popular. But in terms of new things, I have really enjoyed being able to order, personal favorites of mine and recommend them to people. We've been selling a lot of, or at least when it came out, we sold a lot of Manhunt by Gretchen Felker Martin, which is like a horror, a gender plague horror novel by a trans author that I thought was just so fun. And we had that and I pitched that to people over and over again and we sold many copies of it. Also, Devil House by John Darnielle, who is the guy from The Mountain Goats who has a couple of novels out. And I really enjoy his writing. And what was the other one I was thinking about? Detransition Baby by Tori Peters is another, kind of a,
which you discovered before it reached its peak popularity.
That's right. It was on a lot of like end of year lists the year it came out.
We sold a bunch of copies of that before everybody was talking about it.
It's definitely fun to get to sort of, pick certain things and push certain things that maybe are not yet super popular. Be like, no, but this rules though.
This is good. You'll like it.
Dawn, what are some of yours?
Oh, let's see. I have that problem that you mentioned where I don't have enough reading time. So of the new books, the last thing I read that I thought was great was The Devil Takes You Home, which is a horror book, and it was pretty graphic. And that's not my genre, but I read it and thought it was excellent. Gabino Iglesias, I think, The Devil Takes You Home. That just came out about a year ago. And turns out it got nominated for a Bram Stoker Award. I don't think he won, but it was nominated. I'm a mystery reader, so I am happy when somebody comes in and wants to talk to me about mystery series. Do you have any Nordic noir? Have you heard of the Martin Beck mysteries? Have you read this? Have you read that? And I will be like, yes, I know that. I will talk to you about those books.
Now, this is coming out in mid to late March. So what events do you have coming up, in April or the next, month or two that you can tease? And I've seen some on your Facebook. That's why I'm asking.
Well, the main thing, Katie may have something here, but the main thing I want to pitch is that we have a regionally very well-known author coming up from Kentucky on April 7th. Her name is Crystal Wilkinson, and she has written a book. Her new book is called Prey Songs for the Kitchen Ghosts, and it's a memoir and a culinary memoir at the same time. I think it's subtitled like, stories and recipes from five generations of Black Appalachian women. She is, I had a different book club several years ago that read one of her novels. And it was spectacular. She's an excellent writer and we're very happy to welcome her in April. That's April 7th. And there's still a few tickets, but not very many, like a half a dozen maybe left for that event.
Yeah, imagine that's one you would need to ticket.
Yeah.
She probably draws a sizable crowd. It's a beautiful book. It had been on back order for a long time, but we finally got some in at my shop and I've already had to reorder more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any others coming down the pike that you're ready to tease?
Do we have anything else that you would like to talk about? We already kind of did talk about Pride. Didn't
right.
You?
Yeah. No,
you can talk about the last open mic and the next one.
Well, but
I know we haven't scheduled it yet.
Also, I wasn't at the last open mic.
Oh, that's right.
Last open mic.
We had a good open mic in February, late February, called themed Bad Romance, that was people's bad date stories. And
really,
and
how did that go?
It went very well. There were several very good storytellers in there, and the stories were hair raising. So, but we haven't scheduled the next one, but we're going to do a themed one. That's right. We do have another event. Let me check the date on that. But Joy Calloway is coming on April 25th. She has done a couple of readings and signings at our store, and we're happy to welcome her again for her new book.
We're doing a bookstore hop for independent bookstore day. There's going to be more information about that online soon, I think. But it's just going to be sort of like get a little passport, go to these four or five stores in the area, and if you go to all of them in a day, you get have we decided if it's going to be a t-shirt or a hat yet?
One or the other. Just to encourage people, because we have a lot of indie bookstores now
in the immediate area. There's who've already signed on. We've got Broadway Books in Ashland,
Matt's bookstore,
your store,
and Book Tenders.
You know, that's an interesting question, because you guys opened in 2018, and Donna, I think in your other life you helped small businesses.
I did.
What are your thoughts in seeing, you know, this mini boom of bookstores, not only in our region but all over the country? Really,
I do have thoughts about that. You know, my first thought was, hey, why are so many people opening bookstores? But I think there's two things that have happened. One is, I think during the pandemic, a lot of people said, you know what would make me happy? I want to do something that will make me happy, that will be fulfilling.
And it's not this 9-to-5 corporate job.
That's right. And I say to that, yes, that's a good reason. And I think that some of them, many of them are working because there is a much bigger awareness that if you want your town not to die or to consist of only big box and chain stores, that you have to support local business. And I think many of our customers are well aware of that and on purpose come to our shop to support an independent store in their town. And I expect that you are experiencing that too. And I think all of the indie bookstores that are opening are taking advantage of that. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. I think the reality is that's what makes a bit in 2024, what makes an indie bookstore viable is being a part of the community, is people going out of their way, choosing to support you, because it's true that you just can't compete with Amazon except that you become a place that people want to visit more than they want to shop on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, when I talk to other booksellers on this show who have stores near them, they always speak of the camaraderie between the indie bookstores. Is that the vibe that you get kind of down on your end of the state here?
Yeah, I think so. I'm happy that it seems to be a hobby that's picking up somehow. You know, it's not like people don't have other options for where to buy their books, but the fact that people want to be in book clubs, that they want to keep up with new books, that they're using their free time to shop for books and to read at home. I think that's great. So,
and that we've definitely got regulars that are people that are supporters of all of the local bookstores. Like, there's a lot of yes, I love you guys, and Book Tenders, and you know, people
go to events at both places.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, I mean, the both of your shops too, and listeners, these shops are what, maybe 10 or so minutes away from each other.
Yeah, 15 maybe. Yeah.
But very different vibes and very different offerings. So you're dealing in books, but you can have a different experience at both.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that seems to work when I talk to others on this show who have similar kind of setups. Now, yeah. when we come to the end of this show, I always ask this sort of flowery question, and it goes back to the concept that people always say bookstores are magical places. So I like to hear each guest's thoughts on the concept of a bookshop being a magical place.
You want to start?
I definitely feel that way. And I, in some ways, that was sort of the thing that has been the most fun about opening this business, that was sort of the thing that really captured both of our imaginations when we were starting to work on it, was like, how do we make this space like something that people, you know, want to spend time in? How do we make it sort of fun and unusual and inviting? And I do think there's something there about like having a space that sort of encourages you to come and sit and read, that there's something cool about, there's something magical maybe about a community space that is sort of can be used in this flexible way, and that where you're gonna find people who appreciate art, who appreciate the written word, and just sort of being able to create something that's a little unusual in a way that's inviting, in a way that's fun.
Yeah, I think for us specifically, and it would be different at different shops, you know, because like you said, they have a different vibe down at Book Tenders. But you know, one of the things we did, we filled our store with antiques, but using that term very loosely.
We weren't spending a lot of money on our furniture, but we were getting it from antique shops.
And also we have unusual things to look at and, you know, strange furniture, like our green velvet sofa. And so, and painted typewriters that are just there to look at. So I hope that it feels like a place that you can't go to just anywhere and find that sort of that feel and that look of it. So it should be magical. It should be a different kind of place, a different experience when you walk in there.
Yours does feel magical. If it's never boring, no matter where you look, there's something cool there to see. I remember when we did the video portion, I think it was you, Katie, that described the sort of the third space concept.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that before we go.
Yeah. Please. So that was something that we sort of like came across when we were sort of doing the sort of the business plan phase of figuring out what we wanted this store to be. Third phase is just the idea of somewhere that's sort of like not home, not work, where you can be and sort of like be in the community, a place to spend time with people and sort of be out in the world without sort of being in one of these two sort of places that you spend most of your time. And that was really important to us, was like, we don't want this to be, you know, we don't want to be chasing people out if they aren't spending money. We don't want to be, we want it to be somewhere welcoming and somewhere that people can just come and hang out and do their thing. That's something that I think has been important to our business model, is just sort of being a community space, being available for other people to host events or to have meetings or to come see their friends.
So kind of to wrap us up and bring it home, you're about, what, 6 years into having the business. When you think back to the very beginning and you compare it to where you are now, how do you feel?
I'm proud of it. I think we've had some rocky years in there and some unexpected things, especially with the pandemic. But I think we've stuck it out in a way that I wasn't sure was going to be as possible as it has turned out to be. And I feel like we're really sort of a staple of the community in our neighborhood now, in a way that is really satisfying, makes me proud.
So I want to thank both of you for coming onto the show. Before we go, give folks, if they're local listeners, your street address where they can find you, and also your web address and your social media handles.
Okay, so we are located in West Huntington. It's 604 14th Street West. And we do have a website. It's cicadabooks.com. But you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. A lot of our events, our Facebook, it's at Cicada Books. And our Instagram is Cicada_books. And a lot of our events, our recurring events and special events are all on our Facebook page. So that's a good place to look us up to see what we're doing.
Well, I wish you all the best. Happy Independent Bookstore Day coming soon and the Pride event in the summer. I stay busy these days down on my end of town, but I'll get back down there and see you very soon.
Okay, good.
Bookstore Explorer is produced and hosted by me, Matt Browning. Our theme song is Come Right Back to You by Max Hickson. Follow along with the blog version at bookstoreexplorer.com and at Bookstore Explorer on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.